It's the Tiltcast, episode 512, Boomer Blast.
And this week, guys, we talk Assassin's Creed 3 Remaster, Slay the Spire,
Circle
King
Strike.
Arthur Knight's Tale, Nightmare Reaper, Project Warlock, and Songs of Conquest. Stay tuned.
Old games are sometimes the best games. We're back.
Woohoo!
Tiltcast, it's an M-rated show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
And it is Sunday, what is it, July something or other, at 8.05 p.m. It's a temperature. It feels like 97.
It is July 10th, and it was 103 today.
So with us, you'll get some amount of time's worth of bullshit.
Bullshit.
And some games, some news. It's been a scorcher of a week, Jason.
It has been.
It just doesn't relent. I feel like it's just never ending heat around here. But you know, it is July, so that's what you get. Have you been up to anything this week?
Oh, not a whole ton, other than just still playing around in Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, which I did find a fix for. I redownloaded it and installed it to the external drive for my Xbox instead of the internal one, and somehow that magically cured all the problems. It became an enjoyable experience.
That seems weird, actually.
Yeah,
it should be slower.
It's really weird. Other than that, I've been playing one other game that I'll talk about a little bit here later. But with work the way it's been, and kid camps and activities and yada yada, it's just a really busy summer.
I feel you. I've been I've got a bunch of shit I've been doing at work, which has kept me busy as hell. And then I ended up spending $1,800 getting plumbing done in the kitchen, which was screwed over me getting a tattoo this last week. But, I mean, it is what it is. You got to do the adult thing. Adult things are never fun.
Nope.
Spent probably a little more than I expected on the Steam sale, and I did find some gems, which I'll go through what I've actually touched, and then a couple that aren't worth it. But other than that, I've been trying to, slowly level the pool, and it's not going as planned. I don't think my jack's tall enough, so I can't quite get 2 stones under there. I was able to level it up about an inch on the side that was really droopy, but I can't get it any higher without a bigger jack, so I'm kind of stuck. And I spent about 2 hours trying to figure out different ways to do that today, even like sawing down a board a little bit longer, but it gets to a point where it gets wiggly and it's not safe. So at the end of the day, I'm still digging under the ground to put a solid surface down, which is not raising it. So can't win. It's been an experience, but the pool's been nice still. Can't keep my chlorine levels quite right, so I just shocked it today. I don't know what the fuck's up. I don't know what I'm doing with the pool, but it's mostly fun.
It takes a little bit. One of your challenges will be the fact that every time you vacuum your pool, you have to add new water into it. Somehow the pH out there in BA is super high. So if you don't keep that in a good spot, your chlorine won't be as effective, and you might just end up having to get a stabilizer. I didn't think you would have to, but you might, just because of the amount of sun your pool probably gets most of the day.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I don't know what I'm doing with the pool, so we can talk about that on break, and maybe you can help me figure it out a little bit, because I tested it again this morning, and it was or this afternoon, and it was almost non-existent chlorine, and I got two pucks in there.
Damn, yeah. We'll figure something out.
So I shocked it right before we went to the cast and stirred up the cauldron, and then came in here to podcast.
Other than helping you with pull stuff, I finally downloaded and started playing Slay the Spire.
Oh, it, had you never played that before?
No.
That's a really good game.
I'm digging it.
Yeah, you get to a point where you realize, you kind of figure out how the build synergies work, and then you'll start to be like, oh, I'm getting a lot of this type of card, so I'm going to build it this way. And it gets really fun. I've beaten it several times, which is why I'm not playing it anymore. Unless I've just added new things. It's just, to me, I've conquered the fuck out of that game. Unless I was going to go achievement hunting, and I don't really want to do that. So I don't really do that anymore. I just kind of play till I feel done. Which brings me to something else. I guess just diving straight into games, man. Because there's... Lola, what the hell are you doing? I don't know if you can see this, but no, you can't. She's literally like...
Come here, you little turd.
She's like repositioning all her blankets with her teeth. He's got a...
See, and he screwed it up. There you go.
She, her bed's right under the vent in the here. So Lola's kind of got three beds. She's got my bed. She's got the couch bed. Then she's got a bed where I work, which is where also where I podcast. And they're just piles of blankets is what they are, old blankets that she gets to use. But the one that's in here is directly below the vent because it's so fucking hot outside. It's just blowing constant, like, 65-degree air in here. And it's freezing her ass off. It's actually freezing my ass off a little bit. We ended up doing a little bit of gaming the other night, too. We ended up playing a little bit more of our tabletop that we got going now every couple of weeks, which I think's been good for you to get you out of the house. But
heck yeah.
That's been fun. Made some slightly smoked burgers. Went pretty basic this time, but it was pretty worth it. I don't know what 4th of July...
It tasted good.
Yeah. Because we're doing this after the 4th of July. 4th of July wasn't as boomy as it was normally at my parents' house. Last year, we did a signal cannon, which was really fun. This year, all I did is just pop a few firecrackers and drink some beers with Dad. So, wasn't really that big of a deal. And then when I got here, like that whole weekend last week was just so busy. Because me and you were fixing the pool. Me and my friend QA'd the pool. Me and Musum and Vanessa and a couple of her friends came over and we did quality assurance on the pool again. And then I had to work. And then on this whole week, like even with the 4th of July day, like I sat out in the pool and finished Stranger Things on my tablet, which I've got like a little waterproof thing, but it has a lot of glare in the sun. So it does work good when it's dark outside. And then I ran into some trouble with mosquitoes. And so I got a couple of tiki torches, which I didn't realize how fucking cheap they are. But got a couple of those guys to help with mosquitoes. And then I, you know, I've been battling the pH all week.
Yep.
But, yeah, I didn't really have initially as much time to game as I wanted to because then I ended up having to mess with plumbing this week. And then I worked two 12-hour days and one, like, 9-hour day, like, just staying on top of work last week because of plumbing and 4th of July, and then I'm in the middle of doing a big hiring thing that I'm in the middle of. So I ended up just being busy as all hell. But despite all that, I put the nail in the coffin in King Arthur's A Knight's Tale for now. I was 30 hours into a campaign, and I've been playing it on hard, and I've been playing it on the roguelite version of it, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. That means that it auto-saves every battle after every decision. You're 100% committed. And I just got so wounded that I was just killing all my guys. Like, it just, it got impossible.
Wow.
And I was 30 hours in. And so I was just like, you know what? I want to play normal, but this is a second restart. This game is really hard. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but I'm not having fun right now. And I put it in my play it later folder, and I'll play it later after I've played all these new things, so because it's a long game. And it's on a play it later. So it's on reserve. I'm going to try a normal campaign and see how that is. Apparently they've done a whole bunch more balancing tweaks for normal, because apparently normal was too easy before. And see how that plays out. But I don't want to play it all over again while I got all these other games. And so I was just like, no, not right now. I've been playing a lot of small titles. I did refund a title. So one that definitely wasn't worth it. There's a game called Cloudpunk that PC Gamer reviewed and liked. And literally all it is flying a little spaceship around town doing deliveries. And there's not a lot interesting with the story. There's not a lot interesting with the deliveries. There's not a lot interesting with the car or the way it handles, the way it drives, or literally anything. And I refunded it after an hour. It was that boring. And that was a waste of $6.99. So I refunded that sucker. Now, games I am glad that I did not refund. So Project Warlock is pretty damn good. I've picked that up and put it down a few times. But it's kind of like playing Doom. Like, no, it's not like playing Doom. It's kind of like playing Quake if you could aim up. You get different weapons and ability upgrades and stuff like that, and then it lets you have some persistence to your game. So haven't died a lot, but it randomizes the chapter order as you go so that you could play it over and over and over again. It's a pretty good game, and I got it for like $2. It came out a few years ago. I want to say like 2018, but it looks like old. It's kind of like a really stylized version of an old Duke Nukem game, like way more colors, way more detail, but still has the 2D sprites in a 3D plane. It's pretty good. I also played a little bit of Nightmare Reaper. These are two games that are very similar, except Nightmare Reaper is a true roguelite in that you have randomized maps and randomized dungeons. But it plays a little bit more like Quake in that there's a lot bigger groups of enemies and a lot more chaos. And you have randomized weapon drops with randomized stats. And then basically what you're doing is you're going to sleep and slaying dozens of creatures. And then you're waking up in a mental hospital. Graphically, it's a little bit closer to Doom. But like old school Doom.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how much I like it. Like, it just feels good. And I know it's under the category of boomer shooter. But you know what? I guess I can't get closer to boomer. I'm basically what I thought a boomer was when I was a kid. It's really good. It's really good. I really like Nightmare Reaper. I like it a little bit more than Project Warlock just because of the variety. It's a little harder, too. It gets pretty chaotic. The weapons all have, like, alternate fire. So, like, you have a pistol that has a silencer. You have a magic wand that shoots, like, poison explosions. you have, like, a shotgun ice spell. Let's see, trying to think of some of the other things. I've got a chainsaw. I've gotten a shotgun. I've gotten a grenade launcher, a single-shot grenade launcher. A flaming bow and arrow. An AK-47, a sniper rifle, a samurai sword, like, that charges up and shoots, like, blade, like laser blades. It's dope. It's pretty dope.
Nice.
If you can find it, it's It's a little bit pricey, but it's probably got a lot of playtime in it based on the fact that it's run-based. When you die, you just wake up. And then it has this weird thing in between. So, like, when you want to upgrade skills, you get skills from the money you earn. You can turn this off to where you can just unlock a skill, but you get a little bit of extra cash by playing this little mini Mario platformer game where you jump on, like, zombies and then try to get coins and get to the end of the little level that it sets up, and that's how you level up. Just weird, but I like it. The only thing is it plays weird on a mouse and keyboard for that, so I just switched the controller to play those little levels and then go back to mouse and keyboard for the shooting. It's one of those games, like, I recommend playing both ways. And, of course, it doesn't chug a system, so, like, it runs like a fucking champ. I finished Symphony of War. It took me about 43 hours is what it looks like. That game's really good. I made the bad decision and had the bad ending, but despite having the bad ending, it was really good. That was a game that I said was very much like old Ogre Battle. And then it just had a real big balance patch that just upgraded a whole bunch of shit as well. So they're actively working on it. But it's been selling fairly well. Picked up some steam on Steam. I think part of that was probably Green Man was having a pretty intense sale on it, where it was like $11, which is how I bought it. But Symphony of War is really good if you like old school Ogre Battle. I guess most of the games like go back to things I thought were fun when I was a kid. And not like AAA stuff. I played a little bit more of Guardians of the Galaxy, but it was too involved for me to play that and stay locked in. I've primarily been playing games that have very little dialogue and let me focus on two things at once. So I haven't really messed with it. One of the games that I got super cheap, and I also realized it was on Game Pass, but then I didn't want to return it because I felt really bad. But I bought Crown Trick, and then I realized I'd played that on Game Pass. And so I'm trying to think. There's only a couple other games that I've played that are like this. Anytime you move, the enemy takes a turn. So you could move continuously in a straight line, and the enemy will take as many turns as it took you to move in a straight line, right? Which means it's got a lot of strategy to it. But you pick up random weapons in little random areas, and you've got spells, weapons, and abilities that you have that you swap between. And then you get upgrades at the end of the level to your stats. And then you unlock different itemization. But Crown Trick is pretty fucking cool. Like I said, I got it on the really cheap, but it's also right now on PC Game Pass. If you're looking for a turn-based battler that is a little bit non-traditional and you don't mind the kind of cutesy art style, I think it's pretty worth it. I remember liking it, but just not being in the right headspace when I played it on Game Pass, and then I realized, yeah, I like this actually quite a bit. So that'll be something I'll be sinking my teeth in a little bit more over the next couple of weeks. We're not going to tag all of these because I'm going to talk about so many, but a couple of the other ones that I got, there was one more that I got that I did refund. I played it for 30 minutes and decided it just wasn't for me because it's just so rote. There's a game called Dead Grid that is a card-based battler roguelike that is based on looting and zombies, and it's incredibly rote. It's about the most average card battler I've ever played. And I think I spent $8 on the sale. So all in all, I ended up getting my money back on that because after 30 minutes of playing it, I was like, this is not good. And it doesn't mean because something's on sale that it's automatically not good. It's just that one was really not good. Like, I was just really struggling to stay paying attention to it.
Damn.
One that I've played a little bit more of and decided that I am really liking so far is a band. It's a game called The Slormancer, and it's an action roguelike that has, like, you pick a class. It's a little bit jokey. And then you go and fight like large groups of enemies. It's kind of a bullet hell, but not really. There's not really much of a dodge mechanic to it. You just, at least with the knight character that I'm playing right now. But you've got all these talent trees. You've got all of these weapon unlocks. It's done in like a hyper stylized Nintendo, Super Nintendo style. Again, another boomer game. But it looks pretty cool. And then it plays pretty cool. So I'm going to keep playing it because I like it. See if there's any that I really sunk my teeth in that are more than that. The only other one that I really wanted to talk about that I really played quite a bit of the last couple of days is a game called Song of Conquest. It's published by Coffee Stain, which is the same people that do Deep Rock. So this is, have you played Heroes of Might and Magic?
Yeah.
So, you know, with Heroes of Might and Magic, you typically have a kingdom that you're managing. And each of those, like, unlock classes of characters that you can add to your armies. And then your army strength are determined by the leader class and then what type of units you have in that group, in that army. And this is kind of the same way, like, you have, when it goes to the battlefield, like, elevation plays a part into how strong things hit. So, like, ranged units on top of a cliff, like, do a lot of extra damage. But essentially what you do is you go through and you capture little points of interest, which gives you gold or different types of resources that you use. And then you gather units together from these towns that you conquer, and then you create unit types based on that. Apparently there's several different kingdom types. I'm playing the human campaign right now. And then at a certain point, it lets you start mixing unit types of the different race that's in the game and that has different strengths. And so your main character just casts spells, but your creatures, the way that you determine the outcome of your battle is basically the type of support spell that you use on your character, the strength and type of character you're fighting, and what type of damage you do. And so you're kind of always keeping that in mind on when you want to move something into battle to attack. It is turn-based and initiative-based, but it plays out pretty damn good. It has a weird art style where it's a mix of hyper-stylized Super Nintendo on a semi-3D map with a shitload of colors and a lot of good animation. And I've put 9 hours into it in last night and this morning, in between all of my chores. Like, it's literally all I was playing from about... After we decided we weren't going to podcast last night, it's like, I'm going to try this game out. Then I played it till 1 in the morning. And then I played it on and off all day today. It's really good. It's tuned just hard enough on normal for me to feel challenged. The resource management feels balanced. I never feel overpowered. In fact, half the time I feel like I've got to strategically retreat sometimes just to make sure that I don't completely get myself crushed. Has a lot of variety, a lot of objective variety. The AI is kind of a bitch, but I like it. It's in early access, but feels feature complete and like a full game. Like I said, I'm playing the human campaign. And no, it's fairly close to completion, or at least it feels like it. It's a really good game. It was one of the ones that I bought closer to full price. I spent about $20 on sale, and I think I'd have to look to see what it's actually charging right now. But if I could get this to work, I'll tell you in a second how much it is. It's $30 right now. It feels worth it. It really feels worth it. It's very polished.
Nice.
It's got almost 3,000 positive reviews on Steam right now. Yeah. Shit, there's people that already have 180 hours in this? Goddamn. It's good. If you like Heroes of Might and Magic, you would like this. Like I said, I'm playing the campaign mode just to get a feel for it before I dive into skirmishes and shit, but like you could basically play it like a Civ type game too. Yeah. But yeah, it's really, really worth it. Out of everything, every turn-based game I've played recently, it's the one that's had the most unique take on the genre. Out of all of them. Well, I say unique. It's very much like Heroes of Might and Magic, but it's also very different in a lot of ways. But yeah. I know I just spouted off the game-gasm there.
The game-gasm. Wait. Which one would you say impressed you the most out of everything you did?
Well, like I said, Songs of Conquest is probably the best buy I have out of all of it. So if I was to rank it, I would say Songs of Conquest and then Nightmare Reaper are the two that are just, and then Symphony of War. I think out of everything I've played so far, all three of those have been stellar. Project Warlock is also very good, but I don't see it having the replayability of Nightmare Reaper. I ended up getting Project Warlock 2, which is now in early access, but it's I think I bought it for $9. So, like, on all the Project Warlock games together, I spent about $12.
Nice. But,
so, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, like, you get into a mood where you want to play something more familiar yet different than what you're playing right now. And I think what it was is I really wanted to listen to some podcasts this week, and I didn't have a lot of like time to invest in Guardians. So I like Guardians quite a bit. What I don't like about Guardians, even though you can quit at save at any point, it feels like you have to kind of finish a chapter to be done with it, which is like a 2 or 3 hour commitment, you know? So when I'm in that kind of mood, and that's what I want to do for the rest of a session, then yeah, that fits perfect. But if I'm in the middle of, I know that I'm going to go, I've been doing all sorts of fucking chores and shit this week where I had little blurbs of time to just jump in and out of things, then all of these other games that I'm playing are exactly that kind of thing. Like a level in Project Warlock probably take me 10, 15 minutes. Right. Same with Nightmare Reaper. I can get through a level in about 5 or 10 minutes. And so when a lot of my playtime was like, you know, 20 minutes on lunch break, if I was lucky enough to have a lunch break, or a little bit of time before work, or a little bit of time between cleaning the pool and making dinner and, you know, fixing shit around the house, like, all these other games like filled that groove really well to where I could just like hop in and hop out. Like tonight, I may or may not play Songs of Conquest. I may jump into Nightmare Reaper because I know that I'm good for about an hour on that and I'm good, you know? So anywho, that's what I had to play. What did you have to play?
I've just been sitting here playing Spire for the most part today, and then played the Assassin's Creed 3 remastered a couple times during the week. I will say like I said, that experience, once I figured out the odd little issue with the install file and got that fixed, it became a whole lot easier.
Gotcha. Yeah, as far as like big releases, like right now, Monster Hunter just had the big expansion release, which I picked up on the less expensive, I want to say I spent $25 on Green Man for it, just to pick it up cheaper. But I haven't committed to that because I know that each one of those runs is going to take me about an hour or so. For Monster Hunter Rise. So I just haven't quite committed to that, and then I keep being like teased by No Man's Sky. Whether I run across some kind of YouTube video for it, etc., like there's keeps being things that say, talk about how much it's changed and all these other things. It's like, no, I've got all these new games I need to play first before I dive into something that old. But like Like, I even thought about trying out Red Solstice again for a while, just because there's been a shitload of updates to it. But from everything I see, it seems like that's still a lot better with other people. Which, I don't have a lot of other people that play PC stuff with me. At least not currently, until Rusty gets his internet back together. But yeah, game-wise, man, it's been kind of a short week. I think we ought to take a break. Do you think we ought to just go ahead and break?
Yeah, because I think we got some news and stuff to dig out. So I think it's a good spot.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. Back.
Well,
been digging through news. We know it's a short cast week. There just wasn't our news are basically like a handful of things and what we've played in a slow week of Steam sales, basically. So if anything, we're being consistent with releasing an episode weekly, but I can tell you this isn't gonna be a 2-hour episode. Looking through the news, there hasn't been a whole lot. One of the things that I saw that is kind of a big deal is Diablo Immortal right now is really controversial because of the amount of money needed to spend to get rare gems. So there's been the average player's dropping about $600 in the game. Which is probably being inflated by whales, but regardless right now, it's bringing in $1 million a day in microtransactions. And it's already earned $49 million. The game itself, from all reports, is not necessarily bad. It's just that it's straight up predatory in the way that it has you get an item that helps you get gems to help you make yourself more powerful. And so people opt to buy these crests that give you like less than 1% chance at getting the gem that you want. So you end up buying a few of them. Before you know it, you've bought several of them. But right now, as far as, because it's on iOS, it's on PC, and it's on Android, right now it's the 34th highest grossing app on the entire store, despite falling to the 134th in terms of new downloads.
Damn.
So, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy that I'm just kind of irritated with Blizzard. I think everybody's irritated with Blizzard. But, you know, more casual players that see a Diablo game, right? Let's say somebody that's my age that hasn't, or your age, that hasn't gamed in a long time, right? And they're like, oh, Diablo's now on my phone. I bet I could just get that, right? And so they get Diablo and they start playing it and it feels very Diablo-like. And, you know, they see that you got to spend a little bit of money on microtransactions. And before you know it, you spend $100, which is kind of crazy. I don't know. It just feels weird. I feel like at some point I need to play it and then I try to play it without buying anything just to see what that experience is like. But it's kind of, I don't know, just straight up annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I would agree wholeheartedly. The whole, it bakes on pay to win, and I've never liked that either. I mean, as much as that is not pay to win, it is annoyingly close to it. So, all in all combined, it's just, it's a bad situation to put yourself in, Blizzard. Aside from that, they're not the only ones that are just making bad moves lately.
Yeah, wasn't there an Ubisoft store you snagged recently?
There is. So Ubisoft is making making the move to reallocate some server space, I guess, and is removing the is shutting down online support, which includes multiplayer online features and DLC access for several games. Anno 2070. Several Assassin's Creed titles, two Brotherhood Liberation, and the original release of 3, Driver San Francisco, Far Cry 3's original release, Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, Silent Hill 5, Space Junkies, and Splinter Cell Blacklist. Now, that you'll still be able to purchase the primary game and install it, or if you have already purchased it, you can still install the primary game, but you will not have any access to any of the DLC or online multiplayer.
You know, I want to say when I was skimming that list, there was something in the way that you had to play a certain game in a way that tricked it into thinking it wasn't online, and I can't remember which one it was. I want to say it was Ghost Recon.
Yep. It was Ghost Recon, but even then, though, if there's no access to multiplayer servers and Ubisoft hasn't put the open source tools out there for people to set up their own private servers, then it doesn't really matter a whole lot.
Well, I guess we'll just see what that looks like in real time as it happens. I think that's supposed to happen in about a month?
At the end of this month, yeah.
Oh, damn. What else did you have?
We've also got a couple different things here on before we get into good news stories. One more of a that's may or may not be a little bit of a downer. There was an article on CNBC this week that the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard may see some anti-competition probe over in the UK. So, you know, it will be September 1st is the deadline for the initial for the decision. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not this whole acquisition gets through that probe, because that could actually stop it.
Fair enough.
And we've not even heard from the U.S. government side of things, the FTC. So, and the UK's ruling may have a large influence on their ruling here. So, moving into some more lighthearted news, though. Great news for Quest 2 owners everywhere. Meta will no longer require you to have a Facebook account to use your headset starting next month. But you will have to still register and log into a Meta account. Don't ask me how that's different, but
I just blocked all the social following stuff on my Quest. So that nobody ever sees when I'm playing VR or what I'm playing on VR, all that other shit. It always shows me as invisible. I mean, it could be one of those things where people saw what I was playing and I didn't want to. Remember, like in the early days of Facebook, every time somebody played some stupid Facebook game, it would show you a post that they played that game.
Oh, yeah.
Like Farmville or whatever. Like, I didn't want something like that happening, so I just turned off all the social shit. Like, I could care less that Facebook knows what the hell I'm playing, but honestly, I haven't played my Quest in a while. One of the weird things that I saw is, so apparently there's a rumor that a Lollipop Chainsaw remake is in the works, but Suda51 are not behind it.
Really? That seems weird.
Yeah. Yeah, the, so one of the questions by one of the Suda people was saying, to answer the question in the article, neither I nor Suda51 are currently involved in this. I heard about it for the first time from a Suda a couple weeks ago. So essentially, it's weird that they would do a remake without using Suda at all, unless they're just reusing assets and making it more HD. I remember having a lot of fun with that, but it's been a long time since that game came out. I want to say that was like 2012 or something like that.
Yeah, it was a pretty long time ago.
It's one of the first games we reviewed on this podcast. I don't know that I had much else. Did you have anything else?
The only other thing I had was Horizon Forbidden West getting three new graphical options on the PS5. You'll now get to choose between variable refresh rate, high frame rate, and a balanced mode.
Well, that ought to be interesting. Yeah, I saw something on there that if you had a TV that supported 120 hertz, there was a mode that would support that. And I'll tell you, after going from playing everything at a lock 60 to playing that on beautiful mode, even on the PS5, like it still runs at about 30 on its 4K mode. So I'm curious to see how they optimized it. That was actually one of the other reasons why I put it down for a minute. Like, I know there's a lot of people that really like that game, but when you've been playing everything at 60 FPS and you play something at 30, like it really throws you through a loop because it just looks weird.
Yep. So variable refresh rate is going to get you the 60 frames a second or the 60 hertz. And if you're on a monitor capable of 120 hertz, the high refresh rate, which I'm guessing is probably the full AMD fidelity effects,
right,
will get you up to the 120.
Speaking of just random shit, did you know that there's a Gungrave remake that's playable right now at Gamescom?
No.
Do you remember Gungrave?
Vaguely, yes.
So I played
it's been a long time.
Yeah, it was a third-person shooter that was very Japanesey and very arcadey and very fun that I played way back when. I want to say it's been like probably close to 20 years since I've played a Gungrave game. And it looks like it's a mix between third-person and 2D, kind of a bullet hell shooter kind of thing. But yeah, it's called Gungrave Gore, and that is something that is, well, coming and doesn't have a release date on it. I've been looking for System Shock for quite a while, and at Gamescom right now, there's a playable trailer for, System Shock that I've been watching while we've been talking, and it looks very much like a modern game, just it's System Shock, which is kind of what influenced BioShock.
Yep.
I've had this on my wish list for like a year and a half, if not longer.
That is one of the first PC games I played right there, System Shock 2.
Yeah, and this is the first one as a remake, and it looks really well made. Like, the first one would be pretty hard to play nowadays. It'd be like playing Half-Life or something. Yeah. Which, if you're going to play Half-Life, you might as well just play Black Mesa, because that's a remake that's not done quite modern, but it's a lot more modern than the original. It'll play at 4K, but it still doesn't look like a modern game. But it definitely looks a lot better. But yeah, System Shock came out a million years ago, like when Doom was and Quake were a big deal. That's when System Shock was a big deal. So again, going in the trend of today's show of Boomer games, it's another Boomer game that we're looking forward to, because everything else has not been nearly as cool.
No, it's not been.
But, honestly, I don't know that I have much else, man.
I don't either, man.
Yeah.
Despite everything, it's been a pretty freaking slow news week. There is a new trailer out for RoboCop Rogue Justice. I mean, it looks like your standard first-person shooter adventure, I'm going to be honest.
It looks aggressively average, and unless it's supposed to be some kind of open-world survival game, and I don't know how it is that. Until I hear more about what it is, I don't know what to think about it, right? Like, let's say it has some kind of randomized levels. Again, this is me really wishing something big. I don't know if I'm like that excited about that. Honestly, if you want to play a good roguelike shooter, Nightmare Reaper is where it's at. That's the game I was talking about earlier. It's been one of the most fun I've had in a shooter in a while. Usually you can find it on sale on Green Man. I've seen it on Green Man for as cheap as $8.99. 100% worth it. It is just that kind of week, man.
Yeah, it's been a weird week for us personally, and that, you know, unfortunately sometimes carries over into a shorter show. We'll certainly still being a man down, we're doing our best to try to still give you guys content weekly. Just expect, you know, we may have a shorter show here and there until Rusty's back up and running, or we can get some guests in on the show.
Yeah, we're figuring that part out. We've got Dave from our tabletop game come in. Dave plays a hell of a lot of Switch, and a lot of stuff that we don't play. So I'm sure he could talk about some of that stuff. But for the time being, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/realtiltcast. Search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. We got For the Love of Gaming. We've got Cabbage KBG. We got NoQuartersNot.net, BMFcast.com, and TVGP.TV. They also play Steam games. And with that, it's the end of the show.